Okay, so as John said, we're going to look this morning at guidance. So we're going to take a little look at some of the words that you read earlier from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, so if you'd like to turn to it, it might be useful for you. But also we're going to spend a little bit of time looking elsewhere in the Bible about guidance. When we seek guidance, typically it's to get some advice or some information that'll help us to resolve some kind of difficulty or a big decision that we might have. It might be a big decision, something that is a major life decision that we have, or it might be just a simple decision that we have to make on a day-to-day basis. If you think of all the decisions you make on a typical day, the majority of those you don't really probably spend too much time thinking about, or I hope you don't spend too much time thinking about what clothes to wear, shall I go to the gym or not, what shall I have for breakfast, what shall I have for dinner, all those kind of things. Do I need to check my email yet again? Do I need to check Facebook for the 20th time that day? But I guess, maybe you look at a recipe book or look at a TV guide. But typically we don't seek a great deal of guidance about the day-to-day things that we need to do. But what about the rest of the 5% of the big decisions that we have to make in our lives? Should I marry this person? Should we buy this home? How should I care for my elderly parents? Do they need to go into a home? What would be best for them? Should I maybe choose a different career path? Should I change or look for another job? How do we deal with this illness that has come upon us? What kind of treatment should we have? And these big decisions of life. A big decision that Julie and I had to make was, 6 years ago now, when Julie was pregnant with the twin boys. We had after the initial news that Julie had twins in the family that I wasn't aware of, and their joy stroke trepidation that we were going to have twins, we had the 20-week scan, which for us was a major thing. We found out that one of the children was going to be seriously ill. And we were told that we had to get to Bristol straight away to see the specialist. And there, over the course of the day, they did a number of tests, and then they left us with a decision that we needed to make in 2 or 3 hours. And we had three options to us. We had twin boys in that Julie was carrying. And the prognosis was not good for one of them. So one of our options was to do nothing. And if we did nothing, then one of the twins, twin one, probably wouldn't stand much chance of survival. And probably if we did nothing, then it would probably put the other twin, who was perfectly fine, he would be okay. Or there could be some risks if there were a problem with the other baby. The second option was, do we do something to twin one to help twin one give a chance of survival? But then if we do that, then we're going to put a little bit of risk on twin two, who was perfectly healthy. Or the third option that we had was, which is what the doctors recommended, was to terminate twin one to give the best chance of survival to twin two. Because twin one wouldn't have much chance of survival, and even if he did, his life would be very, very difficult. And so you can give the best chance to twin two. Well, Julie and I, we had a few hours to make a decision. They had to act one way or the other that day or in the coming days. And so we went to a park, we talked together, we cried together, we prayed to God together, we rang our parents together, we didn't know what to do. We had to make a decision that on the face of it, none of the options were pretty good. Nothing was clear to us. We needed and we wanted guidance on the decision that we had to make. And in the end, we chose the middle option. We chose to do some interventions on one of the twins. And then we had to make more decisions in the coming week as the twins became more and more viable, if you like, to survive. The risks were greater for the other twin than the other, and we had to carry on with these decisions that we had to make. And we all the way through, we wanted guidance. We were crying out to God, saying, God, what do we do? How do we do this? What decision do we make? What's the right decision? And maybe some of you have had decisions like that in your life. You want guidance. It might be on a decision like that. Or it might be that, you know, you're going through a fearful situation. Maybe loneliness or depression. You don't see a way out and you want God to give you some guidance. Maybe you're feeling guilty about something that you have done wrong. Maybe you're confused about a situation that you have in your life. Maybe you're feeling your life is there's no real purpose to it. What guidance does God give me for that? And sometimes we as Christians, we can worry about guidance and we can become confused by it. And so this morning, through Proverbs and elsewhere in the Bible, we're going to try to unpack some of the things that the Bible tells us about guidance so that we can apply it maybe to those day-to-day spontaneous decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis or on these big life-changing decisions that some of us or all of us will go through at some point in our lives. So let's start by what we read in Proverbs. And I've got five small points for you. And the first point is God wants us to trust him. And he wants us to acknowledge him. Now the text that we read in Proverbs, it's a useful starting point because it's so clear. And guidance, the guidance it gives us is so clear and direct. What does it tell us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, so who are we to trust in? That's the first point. We're to trust in God. We're to trust in the Lord. We are told we are to trust in an almighty God. We are to trust in the one who created the universe. We are to trust the one, the Bible tells us, who made you and I in his image. We are told to trust the one who sent his own son to die on the cross so that you can be saved. We are to trust in the one who sent his own spirit to live in our lives. We are to trust the one who has the whole world in his hand, the master of the universe. He is the one that we are told to trust when we're seeking guidance. But also, what are we told not to trust in? We're told not to trust in our own understanding. And Solomon wants to remind us that our own understanding is sometimes insufficient. Now don't get me wrong, God has given each one of you and I some level of intelligence. We're all intelligent in some capacity. We've all got a conscience. And God wants us to use that to make decisions. He doesn't want us to blindly go through life not thinking about things. But Solomon's not saying don't use your own understanding. What he's saying here is that we shouldn't fully trust in it. He wants to understand that our perspectives are not always the right perspectives. And God and Solomon wants us to know that our perspective should be God-centered and not self-centered. And Solomon goes on to say he wants us to trust in him, but he wants us to be wholehearted about it. He wants our whole hearts to be behind and trusting in him. In every circumstance, he wants us to trust him, not just when important decisions come our way. And to do that, we should be spending time with God, reading his word, learning about what God is telling us, thinking through what God is saying. And then we start to think how God thinks. And by praying and talking to God, we read about what he is telling us. And if we really love Jesus and read what he says in his word, then, well, increasingly, we love what he loves. And that will show in the decisions that we make and be a source of guidance to us. And the verse goes on to say that we are to acknowledge him in all our ways. So we're told to trust him. We're told to not lean on our understanding, but we're told to acknowledge him in all our ways. And the verse demands that we don't just acknowledge that he exists. We must acknowledge him so that his ways, his laws, his commandments, his character, well, that shapes our choices and shapes every aspect of our lives. And you might think, well, that's a bit extreme to have God influence every aspect of our life. Well, if we flip that over, if there are parts of our life where that isn't the case, well, the alternative is that there are parts of our lives where we're disowning God. And if we're disowning God, then there are parts of our life where those decisions, that guidance, is so much harder if we're not letting God be part of every part of our life. And what does the verse go on to say? Well, the result of fully trusting, acknowledging God in everything, well, it's a straight path, directed by God himself. And so the first thing the Bible tells us is God wants us to trust and to acknowledge him. But elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us that God is good, and he loves us immensely, and he cares about our lives. Romans 8 tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? And one of the keys to understanding guidance lies in believing that God is perfectly good. And he desires and he pursues only the best for us. This goodness and love is shown in the sacrifice of his own son. He is so good that he sent his own son for our good. The verse says he did not spare his own son. And how will he not also graciously give us all things? If he didn't spare his son, then he won't spare us other things. And God has pledged that he will give us all that is good and needful for us to live lives that are fulfilled and useful here on earth. God is good. And elsewhere in the Bible, many of them, you'll be familiar with many of these examples. We see Jacob describes how God cares for and guides him like a mother eagle cares for a chick. So what a beautiful image. We were out yesterday walking along by the canal, and there was a moorhen with his chicks. And in the canal was a snake. And the snake was swimming along the top of the water. I'd never seen it before. And you could see it was going after the chicks. And you could see the mother moorhen chasing after the snake and trying to peck the snake as it went along in the water. And God is like that. He cares for us as a mother cares for her chicks. In Isaiah it tells us he leads the blind in unknown paths. And he will not forsake us. And Psalms is full of imagery. We read of God being a rock and a fortress, leading and guiding the psalmist. Or Jesus, like a shepherd in Psalms 23 and 78. God guiding us in the wilderness like sheep, leading us to safety. Psalm 78 tells us, do not be afraid, because he is a skilled hand. In Revelation, it tells us the Lamb, or Jesus, is the shepherd. He will guide us to springs of living water. He'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. So when we think about guidance, we need to remember that God is good. He loves us immensely, and he cares about our lives. And thirdly, God wants us to seek himself. And he wants us to seek himself first and to follow his commands. Well, you might be thinking, a lot of the decisions I have to make, they're in the future. And we can worry about decisions that we need to make. Am I making the right decisions for my family? Am I making the right decisions about my own health or the health of someone else? Should we have this treatment? Have Julie and I made the right decision whether we should carry on the pregnancy or intervene or terminate our child? What have we got it wrong? And can you recall what Jesus said to the disciples when they were worrying about the future? Recall in Matthew chapter 6, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Because Jesus rebuked the disciples because they were worrying about the future. They were worrying where their next meal would come from or what clothes they would wear. But the same applies to us. If we are worrying about the decisions that we need to make or the guidance that we are seeking, then if we're worrying about these things all the time, then Jesus rebukes us too. And Jesus' response to their concerns was to remind them that he knew perfectly and intimately all their needs. Look what it says there. Your heavenly Father knows. What a comfort that is. As you're seeking guidance, your heavenly Father knows. He's saying, do not be anxious, but trust in your Father. Trust in this God. Your heavenly Father knows. And he goes on to tell them in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, maybe you're wondering, well, what exactly has that got to do with guidance? Well, the answer is everything, because when we are seeking guidance, sometimes it becomes all-consuming. And we need to put it in the right perspective. Jesus was calling his disciples to seek first his kingdom. He is calling them to prioritize their lives. And they needed to understand that God's kingdom, loving and serving God, they are the most important things. And the Bible tells us that a sure sign of our love for God is if we obey him. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you recall, Jesus summed up his commandments in two ways. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. We've looked at that a little bit. And love your neighbor as yourself. And as good a test as any is if we need to make a big decision or we're looking for guidance in something, then, well, can I say with my whole heart that the decision that I am making is out of love for God? Where does God fit into my decision? Am I being selfish? What impact does it have on those around me, my friends, my family, my neighbours? And when we apply these thoughts and principles, then guidance doesn't need to be such a vague thing. Things can start to become clearer as we look. We remember that God actually knows all our circumstances, and that we seek God first and we follow his commands. Our Father in heaven, he knows our circumstances, but we should be seeking to put into perspective to seek first his kingdom. And then fourthly, the Bible's quite clear about this one. God will instruct us. Actually, it states that exact same thing in Psalm 32, verse 8. And it's one of the most precious promises in the Bible. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and I will watch over you. God is committed to teaching, guiding, and caring for his children. He says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you. And it should comfort us and reassure us that even when we're confused, he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He will not only watch over us, but he will instruct you in the ways that you should go. Now, that guidance could take many forms. It's not necessarily going to be the answer to the question that you have. But God has given us his Bible. He has spoken to us through the Bible. He's given us hundreds of pages about who he is. The words of God in the Bible. Or it could come through conversation with Christian friends. It could come through reading a book. It could come through a message or something that you hear. But primarily it is through God's word. And we need to immerse ourselves in it. We need to know it better. And the more we know and read about God, the more that we get to understand how God thinks, how we should live our lives. And in prayer, we can bring anything to God in prayer. Sometimes we complicate prayer. In effect, it's just talking to God. We're bringing to God our requests to him. We're bringing and worshipping and speaking to God. God speaks to us through his word. He's already spoken to us. And we speak back to God. We talk to him. How can we expect guidance if we don't ask God? Ask God to help us, to guide us, to give us the answers that we need. And we should expect an answer from God. And we should pursue God. We should grapple with God until he gives us the answers that we need. And we should expect that. We should expect an answer from God. And so God has promised to instruct you and to teach you in the way that you should go, primarily through his word and also through prayer. But you might be thinking, well, that is all well and good. God wants us to trust and to acknowledge him. Yes, God is good. Yes, he loves us immensely. Yes, we should seek God first. Yes, he will instruct us and teach us. But how am I to know whether I should move home or not? How am I to know whether I should be a missionary or not? How am I to know whether I should change job or not? How am I to know whether what treatment I should decide if we got cancer? Should we go for this drug or that drug? How should I know whether to have chemotherapy or not chemotherapy? How many of you have thought or cried out, God, please help me to know what to do? How should I deal with this situation? How many of you have thought, I think God is guiding me here, but I don't know if this is right? How many of you have thought, oh, what happens if I make the wrong decision? God, give me a sign. Or even worse, one Christian telling you one thing and someone else telling you another. I remember as a teenager, I don't know if you remember in the Bible, the story of Gideon, and he wants to know whether he needs to lead the Israelites into battle, and whether God is going to deliver them. And what he does is he gets a woolen fleece, and he says to God, if there's dew, if the fleece is dry in the morning and there's dew all around, or the other way around, that'll be my sign. And I remember as a teenage boy, a good teenage Christian boy, thinking, right, I know my mum and dad have got a woolen rug in their bedroom. It's like a little fleece thing. And I remember thinking, right, if I put that outside, will God guide me? It's probably some teenage decision about whether I should see some girl or whether I should do this, that and the other. But it can be quite real, can't it, in terms of wondering and about whether this guidance is right. And we think, well, on one hand, God is amazing. He's in control of the whole universe. He's got the whole world in his hand. And the Bible tells me that he is my father. And surely then, shouldn't we expect God to directly guide us? If Matty's asked me the way to go, I'll tell him to go over there. Shouldn't we expect God to tell us, if we hold the Bible to its word, shouldn't we expect God to tell us directly in these life-shaping decisions? Well, the answer is no. Not necessarily. And that leads me on to my last point. God chooses to conceal certain things from us. Let's come back full circle, come back into Proverbs. And in chapter 25, it helps us to understand why God doesn't give us all the answers. Because it tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal things. He is God, and we are not. He doesn't want us to know everything. Our minds aren't capable of understanding all the factors in play in the universe. Romans in chapter 11 tells us his wisdom and his knowledge are unfathomably deep. His ways are mysterious. And it's likely no exaggeration. There are millions or billions or trillions of reasons why and how God directs each little course of our life. And he prefers to carry out his purposes in a way that to us can surprise us. They can confound us, they can humble us. Not even the angels or the demons know all that God has in store. And this was really useful for me. One reason why God doesn't give us specific guidance in sometimes these really difficult decisions, these big decisions of life, well, why? Because he places a higher priority on us being transformed than us being informed. He places a higher priority on us being transformed than being informed. Why? Because it's all part of the process of being conformed into the image of Jesus. You see, God in Romans 8 tells us he wants us to be transformed. He wants our minds to be renewed. And that is why God has a plan and a design that we have to discern our way through life. Taking difficult decisions is part of that life. In the big things of life and in the little things of life. And God doesn't always make it clear to us, because he wants us to be more and more like Jesus. Think of all the thought. Think of a big decision that you've had to make or you're going to make. Think of all the thought that goes into that decision. We need to think about, what are our motivations? What would be a good thing to do in this situation? Who will this decision impact? How will we go about this decision? And the motives and the affections of our hearts are so much more evident when we have to go through hard decision making. And that is part of God's design. Because if God gave us all the answers, then I bet all of us here, we would just do what God tells us to do. And we would focus on our actions and what we need to do rather than what we love. And in decisions, in these big decisions that require some level of discernment, we nearly always end up making the decision based on what we really love. If deep down we love the things of this world, then the pattern of our decisions over time will show that. But if we really love Jesus, and we increasingly love what he loves, and our love for him and his kingdom is growing, then that will show in the small and the large decisions that we make. And so God chooses to conceal certain things from us, because it is his glory to do that. And so as we conclude, as we seek guidance, let's trust and acknowledge him in everything. Let's remember that God is in control of everything. Let's remember that God is good. He loves you immensely. And he cares about your life. And let's seek to follow his kingdom. Let's seek to follow his commands. Because as we are looking at him, we are seeking first his command. If we are seeking and reading the Bible, if we are praying to him, then these decisions become clearer. And God will instruct us. He will provide us signposts along the way, either through his word, through friends, through our family, through talks or whatever it might be. But we need to come to him and pray to him. And then let's not forget that God is actually being kind to us by withholding information from us and not giving us guidance in everything. Because we're not ready to know, even if we think we are. And he places a higher priority on us being transformed than simply being informed. And he wants us to be transformed to the image of Jesus. And it's through these decisions that our motives and our affections are being revealed. He wants us to mature. And I know it is hard. But that wrestling through these decisions helps us to mature. And over time we become more and more discerning. And if we really love Jesus, and we read what he says in his word, then increasingly we'll love what he loves. And those decisions will over time be what he loves. And prayer is the key. We should be talking to God about the decisions that we need to make, about the guidance that we are seeking. Whether it be a big decision in life, whether it be loneliness, whether it be depression, whether it be we are confused. And just like Jesus tells us the parable in the Bible, we keep on going until we get the answer. And he will answer us, either directly or indirectly. But I just want to leave you with this point. We will make mistakes. The wonderful thing to remember that in all our decisions, as we're seeking these things, that Jesus is our good shepherd. And he has laid down his life for us so that he covers all our sins. including every ineffective decision that we make. I believe that there's not necessarily one right answer in all these situations, whatever situation it could be. In our situation, someone could have chosen a completely different course of action, and that God can use that as well. But we need to remember that He will never leave us or forsake us. You think of a shepherd. He is a crook that is long enough to pull us out of every hole that we are in. He's a rod that can guide us as we start to go off the path when we stray. And one day, if we really seek to love Him and follow Him, we will see that really He was guiding us and leading us through sometimes the confusing terrain of difficult decisions all along. He was leading and guiding us through that difficult terrain of difficult decisions all along. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord God, that we can come to You and all of us, Lord, go through difficult